You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, Lady Greta told me, down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box, out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Bubba's going out of sight. I'm gonna catch me when, cause I kinda like a bit, and I...
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host Mark Waist-Deep.
In the flesh and blood.
In the studio, live in person, the one and only. It is a pleasure having you here this morning, Mark.
Debbie, I can't thank you enough. And before we go any further, I have to, you know, send out a huge thank you to my mom. You know, when I first started this and you know, leaving the 9-to-5 job and, you know, everyone else was saying it's not going to work, it's not going to happen. You know, everyone was doubting my, you know, that I'm going to be able to make this into a career and a living and into the fishing industry. My mother, my rock, she stood behind me and pushed me and pushed me. And those days when I came home and I couldn't wake up the next day because my body was hurting from all the work I put in, she kept calling me up, get up, you got to keep going, you got to keep pushing. I just wanted to send this out to you. Ma, I love you and thank you very much.
That is awesome. That is awesome. She sounds like a pretty amazing lady. I'd like to meet her one of these days.
You will. You will, for sure.
That's great. Thanks, Mom, for supporting him along the way. It's not easy when you're, you know, giving up everything to pursue your passion. Those, like I said, those first couple years, I know from experience, are not easy. But once you get out there and you hustle and make it happen, it's the most rewarding thing. So.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to head over to line one because we've got Captain Steve Johnson with Fish Dash Florida standing by. So we're going to grab his call. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Debbie. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, it's a great morning.
Yes, it is.
Better morning yesterday, actually.
Yeah, not quite as rainy and drizzly, right? But
right,
hey,
right.
It's a good day to be in the studio and a good day to talk fishing. So
it is, for sure. We were out fishing a little bit yesterday and fishing in the river, and I struggled a little bit, kind of low tides, and we caught a couple small fish, but nothing serious, so we were out there. But I did notice one thing I wanted to mention. There's a lot of debris in the river right now, unfortunately, from the storms in the past week or so, where the tornadoes did such damage down south of us in the Iona area. A lot of that debris ended up in the river, so you know, be aware of that stuff out there. We picked up a lot of big stuff out there yesterday and brought it back. There's tons and tons of styrofoam out there. So, you know, people that are out there running around, if you get a chance, you go buy something, stop, pick it up. I know it's a kind of a pain sometimes to do that, but, you know, if everybody stopped and picked up a little piece or something like that, it would make a difference. So just something to think about out there.
Yeah, that's a good point, Steve. Thanks for bringing that up. So what's going on in the tournament and event world?
Well, we've got the Naples Boat Show going on this weekend. So if you're in the market for a boat or electronics or something different or just looking for something to do this weekend, Naples has got a great boat show going on. It'll be going on all weekend and first part of the week. So check that out. And then there'll be a small boat show down at Lover's Key the following weekend on the 28th at the Lover's Key show. Market and Seafood Fest, and that's always kind of an interesting little event, so a couple different things you can check out down there. In February, we've got the Coastal Expo here in Fort Myers coming up, and that's at the Lee Civic Center. We had it last year was a big event. This year is going to be even bigger. It'll be the 4th, 5th, and 6th out at the Lee Civic Center in North Fort Myers. There'll be a lot of great captains speaking from 10 o'clock in the morning. The last seminar starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There'll be several great captains speaking. I'll be fortunate enough to be one of them. But there'll be a little bit of information for everybody out there. So come out, check it out. It's a good time. Lots of great events to check out and a lot of good vendors to see what's going on. On the 12th in February, also, the Ace Hardware store down in Bonita area, they have an annual event that they do. It's called Reel in Sunshine Fishing Expo. So They'll have a lot of great events and some speakers on that one as well, so check them out. Up in the Central West area, we've got a couple things going on. At the end of the month here on the 29th, we've got the Power Pole Pro Redfish Tour. That's happening in Steen Hatchie. And then in February on the 5th, we've got the Florida Redfish Series, and that's also in Steen Hatchie. And on the 12th of February, we've got the second annual Sheep's Head Tournament, and that's happening out at St. Petersburg. A lot of sheephead tournaments starting up, I'm noticing here, more and more of those. I don't know if it's because of the closed seasons on a lot of the other fish that they're looking for something to bring back and weigh.
Yep.
But I am seeing a lot more sheephead tournaments happening, so it's something kind of different. On the East Coast, we got a few things happening. And on the 29th, at the end of the month, we've got the Extreme Kayak Sailfish Smackdown, and that's in Pompano Beach. And HSFC, that's a fishing club, they have their second annual fishing expo and swap meet, and that's in Port Orange. And over in February on the East Coast, we've got a couple things going on. On the 3rd, we've got the Cove Billfish Tournament out of Deerfield Beach. And in Jacksonville on the 12th, we've got the second annual Slayers Sheep's Head Tournament, and that here again is happening in Jacksonville. And on the 19th, we've got a Power Pole Series Tournament happening also, and that is a pro redfish tour. It's a go live event, so they'll be running the entire East Coast, people fishing from one end of the coast to the other. Kind of a different event. They put it on Facebook, and everybody kind of keeps an eye on it and watches it from Facebook. Kind of interesting, kind of different. Down in the Keys, we got several things going on here. Again, a lot of sailfish tournaments happening down there right now this time of year. The 26th, we've got the Alamorada Fish Club sailfish tournament out of Alamorada, obviously, and also the Alamorada Bartender Sailfish Open in Alamorada. So the bartenders are taking that Sunday off and doing some fishing. So the bars may have some struggling getting some service there at the bars. Something we've got to watch. Another tournament in down the Keys. Also at Alamorada, they have the Poor Girls Sailfishing Tournament, and that's on Wednesday the 2nd. So that's about all I've got right now. Not a lot happening in the Panhandle right now, and not a ton of tournaments happening locally here. They'll be starting more of them locally probably 1st of March. We'll start seeing a lot of our local tournaments starting up, so look forward to those events always. And we also have the CCA banquet coming up March 10th. So if anybody's interested in tickets and things like that, we're going to have a good crowd there this year. I have tons of tickets, so feel free to get in contact with me and get my information off of fish-florida.com. My contact information is there. If you're looking for a table, reserve table is $1,200. Individual tickets, which we will be selling this year, which we did not do that last year, they'll be $140, but it'd be a little bit cheaper if you can get some friends together and get a reserve table, and that way everybody can sit together. So,
great. Well, Steve, thank you very much for the update on all of that, and I'll have to get with you on one of those tickets. For sure. I'll text you. I'll show you a text. That would be fantastic. That would be awesome. So, great. Well, thank you so much, and we will catch up with you next Saturday, Steve.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Take care. Have
a
great rest of the
weekend. Nice to hear from you, Steve. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
That is Captain Steve Johnson, fish-florida.com. All right, Mark. So, we got a couple minutes. We got useless information coming up at 9:15, and then we've got our $50 gift card giveaway from Sportsman's Wholesale.
Okay.
Name That Species Trivia is coming up. But before we get into that,
all right,
I want to ask you, so in terms of your rod and reel setup, when you're getting out there and you're doing these wade fishing trips,
yes,
let's start there. What are you using? Tell me a little bit about, you know, the rod, the reel.
You got it. The key here is light is right. Keep that in mind. Light is right. I use a 7-foot medium action St. Croix Avid Inshore fast tip. I have that matched with a Shimano Stradic FL3000 XG. I spool that with 8-pound moss green braid. I'll go sometimes as high as 10, but I prefer 8, and for the main reason that I can take a quarter ounce spoon and blast it down a flat 65, 70 yards with 8-pound braid. I put the whole spool. I can fit probably 285 yards on that FL.
Mm-hmm.
And just the farther that lure is away from me, the better chance of it getting bit. Again, stealth is key when you're on a flat. So those long casts down the flat with whatever lure you're using, whether it be a jig and a soft plastic, a spoon, a subsurface, a top water, the distance is key. So with that ability of having that light, fast, that fast tip rod, that lightweight rod, that lightweight reel, and
when
that
you're
light line.
Fishing artificials.
I can blast them down.
That fast action tip is key, yeah.
That whip. You have that whipping action that allows me to throw, you know, whip a bait underneath a mangrove, blast the bait into a pothole, or even just throw a spoon out over a huge grass flat and just cover ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why walk it if I can reel it? Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. And you said, what length rod are you using?
7 foot.
Yep. Gotcha.
7 foot.
All right. And then tell me a little bit about your leader. What weight leader are you using? Are you using fluorocarbon? Are you using mono?
Yes.
Do you use both in different situations?
I do. I'll break that down to you. In dirty water in the summertime, I will go. If I'm fishing for redfish and trout, and just say in the summer, and we've got, you know, a little bit of silty water or brackish conditions, I can go and get away with 25-pound fluoro. Now, whenever I'm throwing a top water, whether it be winter, spring, summer, or fall, no fluorocarbon, 6 to 8 inches, that is all of mono. The reason why, now keep this in mind, the reason why you use mono, fluorocarbon sinks, mono floats. What do you want your lure to do? If you're working a top water, you want your lure to float and walk the dog on the top.
Bingo.
So using mono allows you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yep. Awesome, Mark. Really, really, really good tips.
Thank you.
And I know that... as far as the moss green braid, sometimes people I know, I use that moss green braid too.
Yes.
And a lot of times my clients have a hard time seeing the line.
Right.
Do you ever switch it up and use like the high-vis yellow in different situations?
I experimented with a couple years back with white and high-vis. And what I learned from my experiment is that the fish can see that line and...
It makes a difference.
It makes
a
huge difference.
Yeah.
If I'm fishing green water, moss green is the way to go.
Yep.
You know, and of course, we don't have clear water all year round. Wintertime is you know, most of the time of the year where it's going to be crystal clear. So longer leader, fluorocarbon, Seaguar, or you know, whichever one you prefer. I prefer Seaguar, 20-pound max in ultra clear water. Even going down to 15 if you're fishing just for trout. But if you're, you know, out there mixing the bag up and you're getting going on some redfish, on some trout, possibly some snook, it's very difficult if you've got a 40-inch snook and trying to turn her with 20-pound braid out of the mangroves. But it can be done. But if you catch her on a point or if you catch her on a trough, you know, running down a flat and you have open water, no problem. Just keep a tight line and do not let that leader get to her gill plates. You know, she may rub you off with her mouth, but if you know, give it a good fight, give her slack, let her run on the flat. Don't try to horse her in. Let her run.
I think you said 20-pound braid, but you meant fluorocarbon, right?
Yes. 20-pound fluorocarbon.
Yep.
A lot of people don't like to use it because, you know, they'll use 40 or 45 or even 50. I mean, yes, you should use a heavier fluorocarbon because you don't want that snook to chafe it and, of course, get cut with the gill plate. But to be in all honesty, I use 20-pound fluorocarbon all year round, winter, spring, summer, fall, and I use mono when I throw top waters. There's the secret to that. There's nothing really much
more to
it.
Yeah, and it's better to go a little lighter and at least have the opportunity to get the bite.
Than spooking
then
it. Because
so,
they can fish. They can feel that.
Yeah.
If you use that heavy leader that puts off a vibration in the water, they feel it. That it's going to spook them.
Good tips, Mark. Great tips. Yeah. All right. It's time, Rick.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
Brace yourself, Mark.
Oh, boy.
It's time.
What do we got going on?
It's time. And now, from the world's ultimate book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information.
Dun-da-da! Here we go. This is the Olympic Glories edition of Useless Information.
Olympic Glories!
Yeah, I figured with the Beijing Winter Olympics coming up on February 4th, there's no better time. So here we go. We're going to start off with the fact that Oscar Swan was the oldest person to win an Olympic medal. The Swede won a silver medal for shooting back in 1920 when he was 72 years old.
Wow.
Man, he's got some good eyes.
Yeah, I was going to say, that takes some skill.
It's never too late to be an Olympic competitor. And then number two, the colors blue, red, yellow, black, and green were chosen for Olympic rings because at least one of them appears on the flag of every nation in the world.
Wow. Did not know that.
No clue.
Now we're all going to be looking at flags. They're represented.
Totally different view now.
And last but not least, Germany is the country that in 1936 established the modern Olympic tradition of having the flame carried from Greece to the site of the games. So I was really curious about this and I had to look it up because obviously in some cases that Olympic flame has to go overseas.
That's a long trip.
Yeah.
For a flame.
So it was really interesting. I looked it up and it said for air transportation, the flame is actually sheltered in a security lamp that's similar to like a miner's lamp that they would use back in the day.
Okay.
And I guess at night they keep it in like a cauldron type scenario. So actually people ask about the torch and it's not really the torch that's carried the whole way through. It's the flame.
The flame. Okay.
That is the significant part.
As long as the flame lives on, it's legit.
As long as the flame lives on. There you go.
God forbid someone blows out that flame.
Yeah, right?
Oh my goodness.
I was going to say.
I wonder if that's ever
happened. I dropped it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And so now we're going to do is we are going to roll right into Name That Species Trivia. So here we go.
For a $50 gift card.
This is a $50 gift card.
Cha-ching.
Sportsman's Wholesale.
Mark, you're not eligible, by the way.
Mark. This is brought to you by Sportsman Wholesale, Southwest Florida's largest discount tackle shop. Now with two locations in Port Charlotte and Bonita Springs, shop or the local shop, the first caller to get through to Rick with the correct answer will win a $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale if you can name the correct species of fish based on my description. The number 239-337-3776. This inshore fish has a back that's highly arched and is gray or black in color, fading to a lighter belly with barbels on the lower jaw. It's common to bays, river mouse, and lagoons, and is a bottom dweller, often found around oyster beds, docks, and bridge pilings, but can also be found offshore. Feeds on fish and invertebrates, including oysters, mussels, crabs, and shrimp, and may live to 35 or more years. Name that species.
Ooh.
Nope. You can't, Mark. All right. And we're going to head off to a break, right, Rick?
We are.
You're listening to
I'm
Real Talk.
I'm watching you, Mark. Don't call.
On ESPN Southwest Florida.
Down. Nope.
And
I'm not calling.
ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back. Look at those phones light up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Mark Waist Deep.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mark,
I am here.
It is a pleasure having you. Gosh, it's hard to believe. Last half hour.
I mean, it's flying by. We didn't even really get a chance to get into the meat and potatoes.
But
I think it's time.
So we're going to go ahead and shut the phone lines down for this last half hour so that we can actually maximize the time here and get these really fantastic tips and all the wonderful advice that you've got for us here this morning.
By the way, I saw Mark trying to get in on the contest, but he was not the winner.
No, I was not.
Our winner was a Jim Forrester from Naples.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to Jim. That's awesome. And the answer was black.
Black drum.
Yes.
I think you knew that, Mark.
I did. I'm lying to you.
He was like, pick me. Yeah.
As soon as you said barbels, I'm like, yep, that's the big ugly.
Uh-huh. All right, so, Mark, two things that I want to make sure we touch on this morning here is, obviously, you're out there, you're wade fishing. Bob mentioned it when he called in earlier. You've got to be a minimalist. There's only certain things that you can take out there with you, but they've got to be the right things.
I'm going to go through it.
So when you go out there, tell me what kind of pack you're carrying, what you're putting into it, and how you narrow down the artificial baits and lures that you're going to be using on that particular day.
Perfect. Okay, first thing is first. Travel light, small pack. Me personally, I'm not sponsored by them, but I use the Piscifun sling bag. It's 11.5 inches by 3 inches by 8.7 inches. I keep one small box with 3 to 4 top waters of choice. I keep a set of weighted keel hooks, twist locked. I keep a couple of jig heads of color that I'm going to use for that day. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then I will have a mix bag. I take an old DOA bag or an old plastic bag from, you know, lures I've used, and I'm going to pick out the certain colors and profiles that I'm going to use for the day. I will also have a little bit of scent with me, my pliers, my bottle of water, and fluorocarbon. And I'll have a little spool of monofilament for my top waters. Done.
That's it. Just keeping it all the way down to the basics. Now, what if you get out there?
Okay.
I'm sure in some cases you think that you have an idea of which color baits and lures to use or which size. Have you ever gotten out there and then been like, oh, shoot, this water is a little bit more murkier than I anticipated.
Excellent
question.
What
do you do in those situations?
I make sure in my choice of lures that I cover all water clarity in my selection, all the different wind situations. So, if I know it's going to be a really, really windy day, I'm not going to bring a ton of jerk shads with me because they're impossible to throw in the wind. They catch the wind and don't fly. Mm-hmm. I would be bringing more of a paddle tail style lure. Anywhere and on a jig head with, you know, 1/8 ounce to 1/4 ounce. That's it. Now, colors, well, that would depend on season, how the weather's doing, tidal flow, what kind of bait's in the water, clarity of the water. So, you know, my best advice to give you, if you're going to just break it down in basics, white jig head, chartreuse jig head, red jig head, black jig head, brown jig head. Keep those five colors with you, even if it's only one of each. Keep all five of those jig heads in your box at all time. That covers you the whole gambit from any water clarity situation.
That's great tips. Great tips. So keeping it basic, but making sure that you've got a range.
Yes, correct.
There. If you've so got not bringing a ton of stuff, just keeping it down to a few,
the bare minimum,
but at least having a few of each color in there to cover yourself.
Clear water, lighter colors. Darker water, darker colors.
There you go.
Very simple, guys. Right. You know, don't make it too complicated. You know, you can see the water as soon as you get there. Okay, if it's a little silty, maybe you go down to a brownish jig head. If it's super clear, white chartreuse. If it's muddy and chocolate milk, dark brown, gold, black. Any one of those colors are going to show off because of the contrast in the dark water and will definitely enhance the ability to get a bite.
Okay, that's great, Mark. Now, what I want you to do is break it down for me.
Sure.
When you get out there and you're looking at a flat,
mm-hmm.
how do you break down that flat in terms of where you're going to start fishing and which areas are most likely to hold fish? Now, do you believe in the 90-10 rule? Have you heard of the 90-10
rule? I believe in the 90-10 rule, but I believe it works in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the 90-10 rule, yes, 90% of the water is barren, 10% hold the fish. But in certain situations, if you have four different creek mouths in front of a flat, well, there's probably going to be a fish in front of each one of those creek mouths. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not God. I can't predict it. But if I see four creek mouths and I'm wading a flat and the tide is pushing out, guess what the first place I'm going? To the mouths of those creeks.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to get pushed out from the mangroves, the shrimp, the crab, all the other microorganisms are going to get pushed out through that creek. And I'm going to be standing on the outside of that creek mouth, throwing into the creek mouth, following the flow with my lure to the outside where those ambush predators will be ready to attack.
What if there's a little bit of a deeper trough around one of those creek mouths, or there's a little more current, or there's a grass flat adjacent to one of those creek mouths?
Would you
want to focus on one of those creek mouths a little bit more?
It would depend on the season. Right now, you know, we're kind of in a mix between, you know, spring, summer, winter. It's crazy weather here. Mm-hmm. You know, hot one day, cold the other. If it was, let's just say the scenario was that it was 55, 60 degrees out that you know, that morning, and it was going to stay in the 60s all day,
mm-hmm.
and I had an outgoing tide that whole morning, I would go to that flat. I know that those fish have been up that creek staying warm through the cold. They're not out in that flat yet because the sun is not out. That's number one. Number two, the water's pushing out, so they had plenty enough time through the night to stay warm in the darker, skinnier water of the creek. So I'm going to position myself out front to where the sun, if there's sun, shining. So if there's three creek mouths and I see that the sun is beating down on this particular one more than the one down the flat,
it's warming that water.
It's warming the water. Mm-hmm. That's giving me the indication that's where I'm going to start. Deeper doesn't always mean it's going to hold the fish. Okay, especially when you're fishing for redfish and trout
mm-hmm.
in the winter. Majority of my fish, you've seen my Facebook, you've seen my videos. I'm catching 22 to 28 inch sea trout in 8 inches of water, guys. 8 inches of water. I'm catching them on jerk shads. 1/8 ounce keel weighted twist lock hook, gulp gray and gulp green jerk shads.
Are you looking for a particular type of bottom composition?
Yes.
What are you looking for?
I will, if I'm on a flat and I'm targeting sea trout right now,
mm-hmm.
for example, I'm looking for a marbled bottom or what I like to call a broken bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want no eelgrass there. I want all turtle. Thick blades of turtle grass, smaller potholes that are broken up down that flat, 20 to 25 yards off of a key island or off of a shoreline.
Mm-hmm. You're giving away a lot of secrets here,
I'm giving
here,
some
Mark.
Stuff, man.
I'm
gold. I'm giving
ya.
Gold. I'm giving gold. I hope you guys out
a
there are paying attention.
A lot of wisdom in here. Okay, so here's my next question for you. I was watching your YouTube channel, and I came across a video mm-hmm. that was relating to the fact that fish snack.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about fish snacking behavior.
Oh, this is a phenomenal.
When do fish do it, and how does it affect the bite?
This is a phenomenon.
You telling me these fish are eating pretzels and cheese and crackers?
You know how you and I, we're not really starving, but we throw on the TV real quick, and you see that little thing of cheesy poofs over there, and I could have a cheesy poof or two.
Talking about Cheetos?
No, cheesy poofs. You know the little ball, the little cheese puffs?
Oh, those, okay.
Okay. I could go for a little snack. The fish do the same thing. And this was a phenomenon that I had no idea about just till recently, to be honest with you. And what they'll do is they may not be in a feeding mode. You may not see them schooling. You may not see them at an ambush point. But what they're doing is actually just sitting there swimming around. And if you happen to sight them or see them, present that bait to them. Now, here's the key factor to snacking. If they reject the bait but don't run, switch the bait immediately. Because what they're looking to snack on isn't what you're throwing. I've had it happen to me. I've had a redfish. I throw to it. I didn't spook it. I ran a spoon by its face. It looked at it, but it didn't move. And I was like, what? Okay. I took the spoon off, threw on a DOA Glow and Gold 3-inch cow shad, ran it by that same fish, and she ate it. Why? She decided she wanted a snack.
So the key is, and I think this is an important takeaway for people to remember, because I fish primarily artificial and fly, is that sometimes you need to work an area with two different presentations
or more. Just because they're not biting one or two doesn't mean they're not going to bite three or four.
Well, especially if you're seeing fish in that area.
If you're seeing active fish and they're just not in the mood to eat, they're either not going to snack, okay, or they're in snacking mode. And, so unfortunately, sometimes, and we've all been there, that you and I have walked down a flat or a beach and you saw a 40-inch snook in a trough. And I threw every single lure I could at this fish, and all it did was look back at me and say, I'm not snacking. I'm not going to snack today. And that's, unfortunately, it's a part of fishing, and it's a phenomenon it's not so much, labeled snacking. We kind of call it snacking. You have to get them in the mood to eat. Make it appetizing. Fish are not always they're not always going to be in hunt mode. They're not always going to be in predatory mode. They may be in snacking mode. So the goal is to get them to snack. How do we do that? We present different options for them. They may want a cheese doodle. They may want a piece of chocolate. They may want a cupcake, or they may want a piece, a chicken finger. You have to give those fish an option, okay? And make it appetizing to them so they will get out of their unsnacking mode.
Well, and I think the key is matching the hatch and paying attention to what's going on in that ecosystem.
Absolutely.
And what the conditions are like, because we get these fronts that come through. Obviously, those fish are going to slow down.
Yep.
You got to slow down your presentation.
Yep.
Use something a little smaller. So great tips, Mark. That was fantastic. All right, we're going to head off to another break.
Okay.
You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
In the summertime, they know so that them look fine. This is you blow my mind.
Yeah.
See ya.
Summer breeze.
Watch out.
All in my mind.
Summer breeze.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. Fishing is life! Yes. I am in the studio this morning with Mark Waist-Deep, wade angler, guide, wading guide, and YouTube sensation.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me here. It's such a great time.
I was blown away, Mark, because I saw your YouTube video on your rod and reel setup where you're talking about the Avid Inshore. Got like 16,000 views or something.
I really went into some depth on that. And again, I'm not sponsored by any one of those people, you know, not by Shimano, not by St. Croix. That was my personal view on what in my report on that rod. And to this day, I still believe it's the best rod and reel combo out there. By the way, all the listeners out there, if you haven't heard of my channel, my YouTube channel is Waist Deep Wade Fishing, SWFL. All you have to do, go to the site, hit the subscribe button. You'll see all of my latest videos, any upcoming charters that I've done, and of course, tutorials on what to use, when to use, and how to use it.
And they can find you. You're on Instagram as well.
Instagram, Waist Deep Wade Fishing Charters. On Facebook, Mark Waist Deep, and also my business page on Facebook, Waist Deep Wade Fishing Charters.
Awesome. So, Mark, just out of curiosity, obviously you're out there most of the time targeting snook, redfish, sea trout. Any other species that you catch fairly consistently or that you can target during certain times of the year out there?
In the winter months, once it cools down a little bit more, it's still a little too warm, we'll get a couple of shots at some wandering cobia. What they'll do is they'll come in and they'll be hiding underneath the big rays. When the rays come up on the flat to sun themselves, to warm themselves in the wintertime, those cobia will stay underneath them and use them as shelter and also use to ambush. That's really the only chance you'll get a cobia on the flat. Of course, there's always a black drum, you know, the big ugly. They're always around. If you got crab on the flat, if you're walking the flat and you happen to see a lot of oyster and a lot of blue crab scampering around, there's a good chance there's some black drum there as well.
Yep, and every once in a while, the occasional bluefish probably.
Oh, yes, yeah. Good old bluefish. That's my plug stealer is what I like to call them.
Yep, and I'm sure you're pretty familiar with those guys from
up north
in New York, right?
A lot larger up north, though.
Yeah.
Bigger teeth.
yes, definitely. So when someone says to you, Mark, and I've been asking a lot of my guests this as of recently, respect the fish. What does that mean to you personally?
Well, if you've noticed my photographs, you'll see the majority of the time I cradle the fish, especially with the snook as well. When handling the fish or taking the fish off the hook, especially if you're wade fishing, okay? With trout, number one, wet your hands before you touch the fish. They have a film on them that's like an antibiotic for them. If you pull that film off the fish, it's going to kill them. So wet your hands before you touch a trout. If you're handling a snook, of course, watch the gill plates. They are very sharp and will cut you to the bone. Grab the snook by the lip with your thumb gently. Grab her, cradle her by her belly. Hold her up for a picture. Put her back in the water. Make sure to move her back and forth and let that water go through her gills and release. And a redfish, pretty much the same thing, but they're very, very hardy. They're a solid muscle. They're very resilient, but try to practice that as well. Don't stick your hands in the gills. Grab the redfish by the lip. Okay, cradle the belly.
Just watch those crushers.
Watch the crusher. Don't put the thumb all the way in the back. But take a nice pick, you know, for your YouTube or for your personal. Put it back in the water. Make sure they're rejuvenated. You know, let them go. Let them grow. You know, and that's one of our mottos over.
And you said you primarily practice catch and release, correct?
Catch and release, correct, yeah. Yes.
So what do clients need when they go out on a guided wade fishing trip with you, Mark? They need their saltwater fishing
license.
They're
going to need a saltwater fishing license.
And you have them sign a waiver, correct?
I do have.
Because obviously you're out there, you're doing a lot of walking.
Sure. Of course, I will go ahead and screen you before you decide to come aboard. You know, there's certain criteria you must have. You know, you can't have a heart condition. You know, you can't be diabetic. There's certain things that won't allow you to walk a flat with me, and it's too much of a risk. Other than that, yes, you would just basically sign a waiver stating that, you know, if you rolled an ankle as you were walking in the sand, if you stub a toe, if you happen to maybe, you know, get your foot in a divot, and, you know, you take a knee, that I'm not liable for that. And you decided to do this with me at your own leisure. I didn't force you to come on the water. You decided to do it on your own. But other than that, yeah, that's all you really need to come out with me. And a basic setup, 7-foot rod. As far as lures and everything else that you could possibly need, you know, you're going to learn all that when booking with me. By the way, you can book with me at 239-823-2183. That is a way to get in contact with me. And you can go to the YouTube channel to learn about some of the things I use prior to booking with me, just to give you a little bit of a learning curve.
So, and speaking of your YouTube channel, obviously the demographic that's on YouTube, it's a lot of, you know, younger people who are looking for information and fishing tips. So, Mark, how does it make you feel that the next generation is looking up to you as a role model? And what message, more importantly, do you want them to take away from their experiences on the water and from what they learn from you?
First of all, it's an honor that someone would be, you know, at a younger age would look up to me. And I tried to show everyone how to respect nature, teach them to enjoy what God gave us. Don't abuse it. Keep it clean. When you get there, what you saw when you get there is what I want to see when you leave there. Okay. Don't leave garbage. Put everything away. You know, if you've got hooks or if you don't even want to leave jewelry in a fish's mouth. It happens sometimes when they break it off. But you want to keep the environment clean. Okay. It's very, very fragile. You know, when you're walking a grass flat, don't go digging your feet in the sand and ripping up grass. Tread lightly. If you bring snacks with you, keep your garbage in your bag. Do not leave the flat the way you found the flat. And as far as the next generation, you know, more and more people are learning about wade fishing. It's inexpensive. It gives you an ability to catch the same types of fish without having to afford an expensive kayak or an expensive boat. So a lot of the younger generations and the younger kids are getting out there and doing it and experimenting with it and, you know, contacting me and watching my YouTube channel. So I encourage all of the younger children and the mothers and the fathers out there, take your kids out in the water, teach them to fish.
It keeps them out of trouble.
It keeps them out of trouble, okay? It keeps them healthy, breathing in that air, getting exercise, learning about the environment, getting closer to God, closer to Mother Nature.
And staying off their electronics.
Yes.
Okay, and real quick, do you have maybe, we don't have time. I still have so many questions for you, so we're just going to have you come back.
You know what? I'm coming back, guys. So that was round one. I will see you on round two.
All right. It's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Rick Church, the director of the show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Mark, thanks for being here this morning.
Captain Debbie Hansen, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. You know, everyone on the team here, you know, thank you all for having me. I don't know everybody's name yet, but I'm so thankful and grateful to be here, and I can't wait to come back here the next time.
Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday.
See you on
place,
the water.
Same time. Have a great weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.